Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Monday, June 29th, and yesterday we got a double dose of news on the New England Patriots that qualifies as national news. So I'm going to open the show with that, talking about their signing of Cam Newton and the punishment that's finally been dished out for their cheating scandals. Then we're going to dive into some comments last week about why Juju Smith-Schuster is so pivotal to this season for the Steelers. It's from Dan Orlovsky. I'll let you hear what he had to say. Then I'm going to dive in, show you where I stand on the situation. And finally, there was a ranking of all rosters across the league from top to bottom, and the Steelers came in 10th. I'll give you my opinions on where those rankings are, what team they could have jumped over on this, and why this just further confirms they're going to make the playoffs. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Let's get into it. All right, y'all, happy Monday. Welcome back to the show. Hope you had nice, relaxed weekends. Maybe you got to enjoy some of the outside weather because it was really nice here in Pittsburgh. It wasn't too hot, wasn't too rainy, though it got a little bit on Sunday. But anyways, hope you had a great weekend because we got some news to talk about. And y'all heard me talking about the Hall of Fame game and stuff last week. We already covered that. So if you missed it, sorry, go back and listen to the Friday episode with Tony and Wes Euler. Also, I won because of you, the smart and wise voters that decided that I won the Fantasy Draft Friday. We picked the all-time movies. Of course I won. I mean, my movies were the best. Were there other movies I wanted to pick? Absolutely, they were on my list. But you can only pick 5. I rocked it out. Let me know if you think that we should do a round 2 of that, because a lot of you guys were mad at the movies we didn't pick. We could do like a second round of that this upcoming Friday. But I digress. Let's get into the top news. The New England Patriots, two tidbits here that are really important. One, they signed Cam Newton. A lot of people were very alarmed. Now, myself and a lot of other people were like, you know, we kind of expected this. But if you check my Twitter at Carter Critiques, you can see some of the memes that I've just been posting of it and just how I'm not like shocked by this, but I'm not exactly happy. Why am I not happy? Well, you know why. Because of the Patriots. We were finally going to be able to see, okay, you know what? Let's see how they do without a franchise quarterback. And, you know, maybe they'll actually have the worst quarterback situation of anyone in the AFC East. Nope, they go out and get Cam Newton, which I believe I predicted something like that happening back in back when Tony and I did our predictions way back in, what was that, March? But I just look at this and I'm like, man, Cam Newton to the Patriots. Now, here's a few things. One good thing is the Steelers don't got to play him this year unless it's the playoffs. So if they're good, we'll deal with that then. But you're just like, man, like, Josh Allen looked like he's starting to figure things out for Buffalo. He was horrible in that playoff game. But, I look at how they're going to match up with these Patriots. And if Cam Newton gets the opportunity to get in sync with a system there and he starts putting stuff together, it's going to be really annoying having to watch the Patriots yet again. If they just all of a sudden, yeah, we got rid of the franchise quarterback that everyone says is the greatest of all time, and then we just picked up this guy who was the MVP a few years ago, and was just floating around, and they picked him up for 1 year and for dirt cheap. And here's the crazy part about this. No, I'm gonna get into the crazy point about this after the second part of the news today, but ultimately, my take on Cam Newton, I don't think he's going to win them the Super Bowl. I do think that he will be a stopgap of how bad they might have been had they had to start Jason Stidham or Brian Hoyer, who was their other quarterback. I think he will do just enough to make them competitive, and you'll probably see them in the playoffs. And they'll probably, I think that as long as people are healthy and COVID doesn't wipe out entire teams, I think that they'll be able that there will be teams like the Bills that might be able to knock them out, like the Steelers, like the Ravens, like the Chiefs. I think that there's going to be teams that can get rid of them. Maybe even the Broncos. I think they're one of my sleeper teams for getting better this year. But I'm not too alarmed about Cam Newton. I'm just annoyed because I'm just like, give me a break. But you know who gets breaks? The New England Patriots. That's right. Because we're going to talk about these punishments that the NFL dished out. And you can't see that I'm doing it, but I'm doing air quotes every time I say the word punishments. Because here's what the NFL did. And they announced this right after the Cam Newton news broke. They're being fined as an organization $1.1 million. And they're being forced to forfeit a 2021 third-round draft pick. So, let me put this in perspective for you guys. $1.1 million, that's nothing to the Patriots. That's absolutely nothing. I'm actually gonna, you know what? I'm gonna Google right now. What's the Patriots' net worth right now? It says the Patriots are worth $3.7 billion, according to Google that I just looked up right now. It does nothing. It hurts nobody. They lose nothing. And the third round draft pick in 2021, first of all, let's address this, but the whole point of them signing Cam Newton might be, and this is what I was about to say earlier, it might be the whole reason why they're signing Cam Newton right now, even beyond him playing this year. If they like Cam Newton, if he turns out to be great, they keep him and they sign him to a big deal and they have their franchise quarterback. If they don't, they let him go in free agency, they get their third round compensatory pick back. And then they actually lost no draft pick. So once again, it's the Patriots finagling the system. And I'm not mad at the Patriots for being smart about that. I'm not really mad about that. I am disappointed. And I'm not sure if I'm disappointed because I knew this was coming. The NFL continues to do nothing on the Patriots. This isn't like this is just the first time. They were warned for years by the NFL before the first Spygate scandal broke in 2007. When Eric Mangini exposed them and said, these guys did this, I told them not to do that, they do this all the time, I know because I was there when they did it. And it was exposed, everyone got to see it, and then we didn't get to see all of it because the league burned a lot of the tapes, and then ESPN did an investigation that showed that a lot of what they did with Spygate was trying to learn Dick LeBeau's defense because it was giving them problems. And then, you know, all that happened was they lost like a draft pick and they got a minimal fine. And then they had Deflategate, which came around. And Tom Brady got four games, four games for cheating. And it was found, it went deeper into the organization. The investigation revealed like the guy who called himself the deflator was part of the staff. And there was a whole bunch of stuff there. And so we dealt with that. And here we are again. The Patriots caught cheating. And in fact, cheating the same exact way that was detailed in the reports back when ESPN was breaking stuff and showing more about what Spygate was and how involved it was. It was the exact same thing. And this time we have the video evidence of the Bengals staffer guy who caught them, of him filming what they filmed. So, you know, because he forced them to show him what they filmed, and the Patriots employee begging him to delete the footage, and he will delete his. If there is not a more hand-caught-in-the-cookie-jar moment than that, there never will be anything. The NFL's never actually going to punish the Patriots. And maybe that's what I should title this segment. Jeez. I'll get into this more tomorrow with Tony. Let's get to our first break. But before we get to our first break, I wanted to remind you guys that here at the Locked On Podcast Network, we stand against racism and social injustice, and that's why we, the hosts, are making personal donations from our own bank accounts to local and national organizations that fight for change. And in the month of June and July, June right now and July, we're looking to, you know, kind of try to pull this moving forward. The Locked On is matching the total of all of our host donations up to an additional $10,000. If you'd like to join us in making donations along with us in the cause, please visit lockedonpodcasts.com/Black Lives Matter. That's LockedOn, LockedOn podcasts.com/Black Lives Matter. All right, I'll be right back. after this break.
Hey guys, you ever have that problem where you're just trying to get through your day and you need a snack to get you through, but you don't want to go to the vending machine and get you something that's unhealthy? I've got a great option for you, and that's Built Bar. Built Bar are these protein and energy bars that are covered in 100% chocolate, but they're also low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great tasting with 16 different flavors to work your way through. And I know because I've worked my way through quite a few of them already. There are new sponsors here at the Locked On Podcast Network, but they've got flavors like double chocolate mousse, banana nut bread, mint brownie delight, raspberry chocolate cream, and so many more. They're great and tasty, they're soft and chewy, and they're great for you. They can also fill you up, make sure that you're satisfied, to help you get throughout your day without consuming a whole bunch of calories. For example, my favorite flavor so far, double chocolate mousse, is only 110 calories, packs 15 grams of protein, 7 grams of fiber, and only 4 grams of sugar and 4 grams of fat. And the great thing about all of them, they're gluten-free. So try out Built Bars. You can go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On. That's promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code Locked On for that $10 off at builtbar.com. You'll get a great tasting snack, and you'll feel great after eating them. All right, we're back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Next topic is Juju Smith-Schuster, and there were some comments made on ESPN by Dan Orlovsky that I thought were interesting and somewhat insightful. I'll let you hear them for yourself, then I'm going to give my sort of counter-response to where I think he missed the mark just a little bit.
Yeah, Big Ben's going to play really well. RC mentioned last year, and even Big Ben himself has mentioned, this is the best his arm has felt in years. And I know this is a conversation about Big Ben, but it's not about him for me. This is about Juju Smith-Schuster, because the reality is this. For Big Ben to perform the way he wants, he's always had a big-time receiver. And Juju really needs to step up to being that true number one, because you go to his rookie year when he had Antonio Brown. He has 58 catches for like 900 yards. Really good rookie year. And then his second year, again, still with Antonio Brown there, he has 111 catches for 1,400 yards. And then go back to last season, and I know Big Ben's not there, but AB's not there as well, and he drops down to 40, 50 yards. So for Big Ben to be in one of the top quarterback conversations for this coming season, this is so much more about Juju. Juju needs to become that bona fide number one receiver that Ben has always had. The Hines Wards, the ABs, Plaxico, someone like that that the Pittsburgh Steelers are notorious for. So for me, this is way more about Juju Smith-Schuster becoming that bona fide number one without Antonio Brown opposite him than really is Big Ben going to be able to perform this season.
I like that take. In both of Ben's Super Bowl wins, a wide receiver was actually the MVP of the game.
So, you know, listening to that, you know, one, Mike Greenberg jumps in at the end with the point about, you know, both it was Antonio Holmes and Hines Ward who were the Super Bowl MVPs. You know, I think that was young Ben, so that's a little different. I think Dan Orlovsky's right that Juju Smith-Schuster does need to be a serious part of the offense, and that there is a challenge there that still hasn't been broached with the Antonio Brown situation. But here's where I think that everyone's missing here, is that this offense has a few more weapons than people are already seen. Deontay Johnson, for one, is a very good young player. I think that he's going to be a serious improvement for Ben Roethlisberger, and that opens up a lot more for Juju Smith-Schuster as well. I also think Juju Smith-Schuster, he still got open a lot last year. A lot of people seem to continue to forget about his lack of production had a lot to do with the quarterbacking situation. There were so many times he was open. Again, if you go back to that Niners game that they lost, the one touchdown grab that Juju Smith-Schuster gets, he catches it over the middle and he runs it. It's like a 75-yard touchdown. You can hear him say, "Throw me the effing ball," after he scores the touchdown. And you're just like, and you just feel his frustration, because it's like, he's getting open. He's beating these guys, and he just wasn't getting the football. And, you know, that's frustration. And that's not saying that Juju shouldn't, you know, do better about that. But that was a lot of what they went through last year. And I get the Dan's point about Antonio Brown not being there. But let Juju Smith-Schuster get a chance to play with Ben again when he's healthy and Ben's arm is on point.
And they still got to contend with Deontay Johnson. And I do think that Eric Ebron's going to be a good factor for this offense as well. It's going to force defenses to at least think about the middle of the field. And you still got James Washington as the third option. And you're going to have Chase Claypool as a deep threat. And with Ben back, I think the running game will be back on top. So I don't think it's, again, this is exactly what we were saying all of the summer where the Steelers were letting Antonio Brown go. Because everyone was saying, you can't be better without your best player. But the response was from Steelers fans, from analysts, from people that were in the know, that the sum of everything else was going to be better than losing the super talent in Antonio Brown. And I think that they've done that. You look across the board, when Antonio Brown was on the roster, and this isn't Antonio Brown's fault, but they were very top-heavy. Their best players were Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Ben Roethlisberger. And then, of course, they had DeCastro and Pouncey. But there were serious weaknesses in the secondary. There were serious weaknesses at inside linebacker after Ryan Shazier got hurt. When he was in, they were doing great. There were serious questions of depth, especially at the running back position. James Conner filled in really nicely in 2018, but the point was the roster was not as rounded. It wasn't as complete as it is now. And I'm not saying that they have everything answered right now, but there's a lot less question marks in this roster than there were a couple years ago when Antonio Brown was on the team. And that was the whole point of allowing Antonio Brown to move on. They opened up more cap space. Now they're filling in more things here. They went and now they have two cornerbacks they're paying and guys they brought in through free agency in Nelson and Hayden that are making the secondary so much better. They went and got Minkah Fitzpatrick. They went and drafted Terrell Edmonds, even though he hasn't really panned out yet. They moved up in the draft to get Devin Bush. Their interior pass rushers in Hayward and Tuitt are on point. Their edge rushers are on point. They've reinforced the offense. They've been able to continue to reinvest in the wide receiver position. They went and got a tight end for Ben Roethlisberger. So they've made the moves, in my opinion, that will help open up opportunities for Juju Smith-Schuster as it is. So Dan's point about Ben needing that number one ace guy to depend on, I think that it will be one of two things here. Either A, Ben Roethlisberger has not grown and he will continuously just look to his number one guy when he's in trouble and chuck a lot of balls to Juju, which sometimes it's by design, but sometimes he got way too dependent on Antonio Brown. And some people say it's because Antonio Brown was forcing him to throw him the ball. I don't think that was ever it. I think Ben knew that that was his best player and he had to make those plays. And I could tell you, there were games where Ben was in trouble and he knew that Antonio Brown was going to make the play happen. Go back to 2017 with the catch against the Browns to close out the game. Go back to 2017 with the tipped catch against the Chiefs. Go back to that to the Christmas Day game. Where he reached his elbow, he extended over the goal line over Eric Weddle. I mean, time and time again, when push came to shove, Ben knew that Antonio Brown could make the play, and I think he got a little too dependent on that. I think that Ben has grown, and we talked about this last week with him talking about his faith, him unblocking people on Twitter, I think he's being more intentionally visible with his charity work, and I think that's to help improve his image a little bit. It's not that Ben's necessarily changed in that he cares about things, because he always did. He's a big volunteer at Make-A-Wish. He donates to police canines across the country. But you look at Ben Roethlisberger, and I think that he is realizing where his faults have been or where he could sharpen things up. And I believe that Ben Roethlisberger, after a year of having to sit on the bench, of having to hear all the noise, and getting a chance to reevaluate things, and now he's working with guys to get back up to speed, I think you're going to see the best distributing Ben Roethlisberger that we've ever seen as far as getting the ball out, finding the open man, and knowing his teammates. So I just had to tag that in off of Dan Orlovsky's point. We're going to cut to one more break here. When we come back, we're going to delve into sort of what I was talking about the roster and how rounded it is with the rankings that ESPN did of overall rosters. Right after this. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models of types of cars, it's impossible for places to keep all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. So why endure the pointless and seemingly intimidating questions that you'll get when you go into a store like, is your car an LX or an EX? And then you have to wait for the counterman to order parts on his computer, and then choosing the only brand that his warehouse happens to carry. You can skip all that. Go to a computer at your own house or your own phone that's in your pocket and go to rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low. And the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And then go and write Locked On for in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Welcome back to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get to talking about this list that ESPN dropped last week, and it was ranking all the teams' rosters. Now, to me, this is interesting because it addresses a few things that I find important. One, it talks about the value of different players and the level that they were playing and the contributions they were bringing. But two, it ranked them, you know, against other teams. Now, for those who, you know, if you want to know, the Steelers were ranked 10th on the list. Here are the teams that were listed above them. Baltimore ranked at number one, which I find interesting, but that's fine. But you know, the New Orleans Saints listed at number two. I agree with that assessment. They have a very strong roster top to bottom. The Niners listed at number three. I think that's a solid ranking as well. The Chiefs at number four. The Buccaneers at number five. I think that's presuming a lot. The Cowboys at number six, which is very interesting. I think they have a lot of talent, but we'll see how that gets put together. The Bills at number seven, which I do kind of agree with. I think that they have a good continuity across the board. The Titans at number eight, the Eagles at number nine, and then the Steelers at 10. Right behind the Steelers was the Cleveland Browns at 11, which was interesting. But the Steelers being 10th here. Now, they had like a bunch of different ways of ranking people. They had, you know, they had these numerical counts where they were given these grades that were like, you know, the best out of 100. If you were, you know, there was three different classifications or four different classifications you could be. You could be elite, you could be good to high quality, you could be average, and then you could be below average. Now, teams like the Saints, we'll start with the Ravens. The Ravens had five elite players on the roster from last year, in Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews, Ronnie Stanley, Marcus Peters, and Calais Campbell. I'm not on the Marcus Peters train, y'all. I think that he's a good cornerback, but I think that some of the hype that he gets is a little much. The Saints had four elite players, and then four other really good players. Are good or high quality players. Now the Steelers, for their comparison, they had two true elite players, two guys that were good or high quality. Then they had about one, two, three, four, five, six, six, no, nine total. I'm sorry, nine total average players, and then everyone else was below average. Now their two elite players were, of course, Cameron Hayward and T.J. Watt. Watt being very strong, Hayward was actually their highest graded player, and those I agree with. Stewart was considered one of the very good ones, or the good or high quality ones. He just missed an elite rating, and I think that was just because of his injury. Nelson was the other good to high quality one, but I found it interesting that Bud Dupree was, you know, only considered to be average. I felt like he definitely was more than average with the sacks that he put up and the help that he brought in the run defense. Minka Fitzpatrick was rated at an average level, which I find astounding. But you know, we can parse through all these picks. I want to get to my point too, so that I can get y'all more than just reading off this stupid list. Point is, you look across the board here. There aren't many places where you can see those below average people. Now,
they rated on this list, the people that they rated below average, they had, you know, they had Devin Bush graded as below average, weird. Mike Hilton, eh. Terrell Edmonds, I understand. Marquise Pouncey, I mean, a little bit because he had some bad snaps. All three of the Steelers receivers were ranked as below average. Those are the guys that they have on the roster that are pulling them down, quote unquote. If you think about those, are you really mad about any of those guys on the roster? Maybe Terrell Edmonds. I can hear you on that because he hasn't worked out yet. I still think he does a lot better than a lot of people give him credit for. But Devin Bush looked very good last year, especially for a rookie just learning the defense, being thrown in, and then the defense having to go out there and fight tooth and nail to win every single game. I think he did very well. He's not a below-average type of player. The receivers couldn't work with anything last year. I think you take away those, they would the worst that you would put those guys at as average, and I would say that at least with Deontay Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster, you're going to see them ranked as an above-average players this year. I think Bud Dupree is going to continue to grow with the Steelers. Joe Hayden, Steven Nelson's rapport is going to be better. Minkah Fitzpatrick, I mean, come on. I still don't get how he's ranked as an average player. The guy had 5 interceptions. He changed the defense. They were getting picked apart by the Patriots and then lost to Russell Wilson and the Seahawks the next week. Now, granted, those are two elite quarterbacks and everything, but after that, they were the secondary was just locked down. They were causing so many problems. I mean, the Super Bowl runner up, the Niners, they created 5 turnovers on those guys. You know, you give them another shot at that with a regular quarterback, they smoke those guys. And a huge part of that was Minkah Fitzpatrick. This is why I have so much confidence in the Steelers moving forward this year. I look at their team and I don't see a glaring weakness. Now, in depth, you can say that. You know, running back, they don't have an established guy there, but we've seen that they're willing to kind of switch around the roles with the running back position. You know, maybe Anthony McFarland turns in, but you gotta like a 1-2 punch at tight end with Ebron and McDonald. We're excited about the receiver prospects because they got 3 guys that have contributed over the past couple years. They've got Chase Claypool coming in, Deion Kane's coming back, and he's at least a good fifth option. You know, maybe Ryan Switzer sticks around. We don't know. But then the offensive line, they're looking like they should be able to fit in pretty well. I really like where they're at here. And when you compare it to other teams that kind of have it going against, like the Eagles were ranked at number 9. The Eagles didn't have one elite player on their roster. They definitely had more guys that reached a below average rating. When you looked at this. So I didn't quite understand why they were bumped up. Now, part of that's also because they're getting Darius Slay. And Darius Slay wasn't with them. So Darius Slay is a very good cornerback. So I think that's part of it. But look at the Titans. You know, I'm not 100% sold on them just buying out. Now, they gave the one player they gave an elite ranking to in the Titans was Ryan Tannehill. I was like, meh. And Derrick Henry. And then again, Derrick Henry was given an average rating, which I thought was bizarre. But you look at these teams. They're not as complete as what the Steelers offer. You can go through and find glaring weaknesses in some of them. I think that you're looking at a chance here that when you look at the Steelers, what often wins you games are dominating certain matchups and making sure that the places where other teams are strong are at least neutralized. You know, for example, if my team is able to come out and throw the ball really well, and your team is really good at running the ball really well, if I'm at least able to slow down your run games so that you're not taking that over and forcing you to do something else because my roster is rounded, I'm making life harder for you. I'm also making you as a coach have to make more risky decisions because your main faucet that you normally go to produce and to make big plays isn't available. So now you got to go to unreasonable things, places where your team might be uncomfortable, make more mistakes, and that plays into, again, the strengths of what a Steelers type of roster might have, because as you're taking more risks, that's a team that led the NFL in turnovers last year. They've led the NFL in sacks for 3 years in a row.
I look at this roster. I think the 10th is at least a fair ranking for the Steelers roster. I also think a lot of people are underrating Ben Roethlisberger. I think that he's going to be fine, and if he is fine, that makes every one of the receivers better. That makes his running backs get graded better. That makes his offensive line get graded better. There's just so many things that can go well for the Steelers, and this is why I don't get it when I look around Pittsburgh. You know, I see the Mark Maddens, the Tim Benzes, the Paul Zeiss's, and I'm friends with these guys. You know, we talk about they're saying like, I just don't see how the Steelers are making the playoffs this year, and I'm like, I don't see how they're not. I don't see how they're not. You look at this roster. There's the glaring weaknesses are in depth. I'll give you that. You know, if certain people go down, they're in trouble. If Minka goes down, they're in trouble. But that's like saying to the Ravens, if Lamar Jackson goes down, they're in trouble. That's like saying to the Chiefs, if Patrick Mahomes goes down, they're in trouble. Duh, we get that. But the point is that you're going in and we're looking at these rosters as they are right now. And if you want to bet on injuries, fine. We can do that all day, and then everyone, and then you can say a little bit about every team in the NFL. Well, if this guy goes down, they're screwed. But we look at if you look at how they have built and how Kevin Colbert did it, and a lot of this is because of Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown leaving, and the Steelers switching from being a top-heavy team to a well-rounded team. And it's okay to be top-heavy, I think, if you got the top-heavy guys that can deliver and win you the games. And Le'Veon Bell was winning them games, but when he got hurt, and this is the biggest risk of having that top-heavy team. When you have those guys that run it, if they get hurt, you are dead in the water. Because the advantages that those coaches were leaning on to win certain games, if they're not available to them, they gotta take riskier things, and that leads to Ben Roethlisberger trying to target Eli Rogers over the middle of the field against the New England Patriots in Foxborough. So again, being well-rounded, I think that should rank them a little bit higher. I'd put them above the Eagles. I'd put them above the Titans. I'd put them above the Bills. I think you could put them right with the Cowboys, because I do think the Cowboys are extremely talented. I just need to see if they can put it all together. Mike McCarthy's there. Maybe he will. The Buccaneers are, again, number five. But I feel like this is why the Steelers stand a very good chance, because they have so many different aspects of them that could make them a much more balanced team to have to face. So do you agree with me? Do you think that I'm crazy here? If you disagree with me, if you agree with me, either way, hit me up. Don't be afraid to chat with me, guys. I'm on Twitter at Carter Critiques. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. Hit me with ads, DMs. If you don't want to make it public, it's fine. I respond to everything over time, but I don't respond right away. Just understand it's because I'm busy and I'm always trying to get a lot done. But just understand that I'm always reaching out to you guys. If you want to join the Locked On Steelers Facebook group, where we are over 650 Steelers fans strong right now, you can go on Facebook, search Locked On Steelers, ask to join the group. I'll add you as soon as I can. I really appreciate those who are part of the community. If you want to help the show out, subscribe and tell your friends to subscribe to the show. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are hosted. If you want to help out with again, promoting the show, all you have to do is go on to Apple Podcasts. It's real simple. Leave a 5-star review and a positive comment. Doing those two things, you know, together, that really helps me get the word out about the show. Helps us get the promotion out there. Also, if you do so, you'll get a shout out at the end of the show, like this person is about to. We have Andy from Andy PGH representing Pittsburgh with a 5-star review. Thank you so much, Andy. Andy says, "Amazing! This is the best podcast in the world!" With lots of exclamation points. I appreciate you, Andy. You get your shout out, my man. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Hope you guys are enjoying the show. Now, tomorrow is Tony Tuesday. I'm going to gloat over Tony Serino for my Fantasy Draft Friday win and tell him that this is why Draft Day was a stupid sports movie and he shouldn't have picked it. I know he was trying to do the non-chalk thing, but it's obvious the chalk stops at Draft Day. Yeah. So that's that. Anyways, thanks for listening to the Locked On Steelers podcast. Be back in your ears tomorrow.